from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. The Premier League run-in is here with eight game weeks that could make or break your FPL season. We talk wild cards and look at who could bring home a big haul in game week 31. Hello everyone, hope you've enjoyed your international break and you are ready for the final 8 weeks of uninterrupted Premier League and FPL that we have ahead of us. It is crunch time for your mini leagues and we'll be here with you on the FPL Fun Bus right until the finish line. Joining me, Kelly Summers, this week, broadcaster Adrian Clark. Morning, Adrian.
Morning.
And two panellists who have their wild card active. Firstly, former Premier League midfielder Matt Holland's back with us. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Kelly.
And we're also joined by FPL Family's Sam Bonfield, who, knowing Sam, has been poring over her laptop, constantly sorting out this wildcard.
Oh, sort of, Kelly. Yeah, I mean, I think I've been waiting on some news on key players before I finalise my decisions, but it's definitely been taking over my thought process for the last couple of weeks, that's for sure.
We'll be diving into their wildcard plans very shortly, but it has been an international break. So let's quickly bring you up to speed with the headlines from an FPL point of view. There were goals for Bruno Fernandes and Diogo Jota as Portugal booked their place in Qatar. But Mr. FPL King himself, Mo Salah, won't be heading to the World Cup. He missed a penalty as Egypt were knocked out by Sadio Mane's Senegal. There were also goals for Philippe Coutinho, Richarlison and Bruno Guimaraes for Brazil, plus Harry Kane and Kai Havertz scored in friendlies. But surely the best story, Christian Eriksen scoring twice in two games upon his return to football for Denmark. And no international break injuries that we know of so far to key players. That's exactly what we want, isn't it, from an international break, Adrian?
Absolutely, yes. Fantastic. I think a lot of managers would have been waiting to make last-ditch decisions. A little bit like Sam and Matt over wildcards potentially. And yeah, waiting on injury news. I mean, on Eriksen, he's playing better now, isn't he, than he was before. He looks really, really sharp. And he was someone that I wasn't going to consider for various reasons this season, but he looks so good and he's so well priced that I think he has to come into your thinking between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, he looks like he's turned Brentford's fortunes around a little bit and helped the likes of Ivan Toney as well, doesn't he? Anyway, this break does mark the start of the final stretch of the campaign. So come on then, we'll start with you again, Clarkie. What are your targets for the rest of this season?
Oh, targets. I need to strengthen my defence for sure. I went a little bit top heavy, so I'm looking to bring back a Chelsea defender and a Manchester City defender, and it's just finding a way to fit them in. For me at the moment, it's about building towards game week 33, where we've got so many doubles. I don't have any more chips to play, unfortunately. I went early, so I'm in the process now of just getting enough players out there on the pitch for game 33. But yeah, I need to get some of those big hitters back in my back three or back four.
Hopefully we'll be able to help you do just that. Now, Matt, you were last on with us in mid-January. How about you? Are you on track to finish where you want? I did say before, you've got that wildcard active.
Where was I in January? I have no idea where I was then, but my target now is just to finish as high as possible. I've only got one chip left because I have activated my wildcard, as you quite rightly say. So I've got a bench boost left. But it's just basically to try and finish as high up the league as I possibly can. I'm currently 500,000 in the world. So that's not exactly where I'd like to be. So I need to try and climb that table a little bit more, yeah.
Well, Sam, your wildcard is active too, isn't it? We'll talk about your decisions and Matt's in detail in a moment. But how should managers be planning for this final run-in? Because these guys may not have got too many chips, but some managers will still have plenty.
Yeah, I mean, I've still, as you say, I've got my wild card active, but I've still got my bench boost and I've still got a free hit chip. And I do think how you plan for the end of the season will be very much dependent upon how many chips that you have left. So if, like Adrian, you don't have any, then it's thinking really carefully through the teams that you can maximise your returns from. So the ones that double in 33, the ones that also have potential to double again in game weeks 36 or 37, and also the ones that are playing European football over the next few weeks, still in the Champions League or the Conference League or the Europa League, the ones that therefore may have more risk of rotation around the FA Cup also. So just keep that in mind as you're planning for the next few weeks. Make sure that you're bringing in players that suit you well for a few game weeks to come rather than just for the one that you have coming up.
Okay, well, without further ado, let's do that, shall we? Let's look ahead. We looked at chip strategies and did a positional stock check last week. So if you missed that pod, don't forget you can listen back as that will also have plenty that is still relevant. But for now, on to Game Week 31. A reminder then, Game Week 31 is a double game week with Burnley and Everton both playing twice. So before we delve into Sam and Matt's wildcards, let's quickly discuss both of those teams. Now, it's safe to say there wasn't too much interest from the panel last week, probably because they are the two sides with the lowest top scorers in FPL this season. Damari Gray with 79 points and Nick Pope with 91 points. Let's start with Burnley then, as they double in both 31 and 33. Matt, is there any interest from you in the Clarets?
I haven't got any Burnley players in my wildcard selection. I perhaps should have. I may have gone for Weghorst if I could have afforded him at the top end of the pitch, but bringing in Harry Kane has meant my budget has had to be spread a little bit more thinly up top. But the other thing with Weghorst as well, he's actually blanked in his last five appearances. I know he started well at Burnley, but in recent weeks he's struggled a little bit as well. He was slightly tempted. And also Nick Pope in goal. I think he's their top scorer with 91 points. But at 5.4 million, again, I thought it was quite expensive as a goalkeeper. So I actually haven't got anybody from Burnley my wild card. Weghorst and Nick Pope were the only two that came into consideration.
676,000 managers captained Wout Weghorst in double game week 27. I was one of them, and he returned just 3 points. That's probably sticking in managers' minds as well, isn't it, Adrian?
It is, yeah. I think I got burned on Burnley as well. Several teams, really, got sucked in by that lure of the double game week when really those players probably weren't deserving of a start. So yeah, you've got to be really careful. I don't think they're particularly easy games. Obviously, the first one, Manchester City at home. I mean, you might as well call it a single game week, mightn't you, for Burnley? I mean, you have to fancy Manchester City to win the game, to at least, you know, ruin a clean sheet. You can't envisage Burnley, the lowest scorers in the Premier League, troubling City too often. I mean, they've only got 22 goals in the entire season, the Clarets. So yeah, I would be with Matt here. I wouldn't be tempted at all by Burnley, and not much in the Everton lineup either that would tempt me on the basis of their current form either. So yeah, it might be one of those where we've all learned our lesson not to get drawn in too much by these doubles.
Manchester City have won their last 9 meetings with Burnley in all competitions with a combined score of 32-1. So that just backs up exactly what you were saying then, Adrian. What about you, Sam? Because spoiler alert, you do have Wout Weghorst on your current wildcard team.
Yeah, because I think, you know, if you look at the Burnley fixtures moving forward, yes, they've got this really difficult game against Man City, and I'm not expecting him to get absolutely anything from that fixture apart from hopefully, you know, a point for playing. But looking beyond that, you know, it's Everton in the second half of the double game week. Well, they have looked, well, they're very up and down, aren't they, at the moment? So yes, they've got a couple of decent results in the last couple of games, but they haven't exactly performed well in those games. So I'm not convinced that will be an easy win for Everton by any stretch of the imagination. It's basically a 6-pointer at the bottom of the league. So the likes of Weghorst are going to have to perform. Beyond that, then, they've got Norwich, difficult fixture looking against West Ham. But then after that, Southampton, Wolves, Watford, you know, there's some decent looking fixtures in there for Weghorst and Burnley. And it gets you through pretty much till the end of the season where we could have a really big game on the final day against Newcastle. So these are teams that, yes, I totally agree with everything Adrian said. You don't get drawn into the double game week hype. That is one thing that is really important. We shouldn't be, definitely don't captain Weghorst this game week. But if you can afford to own him and have him in your team, he actually looks like quite a nice option to hold till the end of the season, particularly as he's not that expensive. So if you can find the budget for him, I think he might just be worth a chance.
Matt, you've got Anthony Gordon on your wildcard. In fact, both you and Sam do. Adrian said then he doesn't have too much interest in Everton, but is Anthony Gordon the one player that stood out, even when Everton perhaps haven't performed so well lately?
He's a good enabler. At 4.5 million, he's a fifth midfielder, and Everton have got a busy running. And he's created lots of chances. He's been one of the form players, actually, under Frank Lampard. So I thought Anthony Gordon was a useful player at that price to try and help me out elsewhere. But again, he's the only one at Everton who are really considered because defensively they've been pretty poor. Just a couple of clean sheets since game week 11. up front. Dominic Calvert-Lewin hasn't been able to stay fit. Richarlison was the only one that maybe could have come into consideration. A couple of goals for Brazil against Bolivia in the international break. Coming back fresh from there, maybe he was someone that I might have thought about. But Anthony Gordon at 4.5 million, I thought with the form that he's been in under Frank Lampard, was the only one that I considered.
Yeah, on Richarlison, Matt, he's definitely a player that's got goals in him. But I looked at the price point, 7.5, and compared it to players that are priced at that level or below, and there are 13 players ahead of Richarlison. So he's got the name. We feel he's always got goals in him, but the truth is there are, you know, a lot of players that have outperformed him this season. So yeah, I think Gordon is a great filler, actually. A fantastic price point. This time next year, he won't be 4.5. Let me tell you, it'll be a lot more expensive.
Okay, so I think it's safe to say the panel aren't too convinced that we should be filling our squads with Burnley and Everton players, but a couple of interesting options there. Let's take a look now at Sam and Matt's wildcards. We've already heard a couple of the players that will feature. Sam, firstly, though, tell us why you've chosen to push that wildcard button now.
So it's a case of either this week or next week for me. I've got a couple of other chips remaining. So game week 36 or 37, depending upon which one becomes a big double game week, because that's where we're kind of expecting the rearranged or the postponed fixtures so far to go, will be a free hit week. So I don't need to plan too far ahead in terms of that and the double game week players, which means I'm really focusing in on game week 33 as a bench boost week. If you're going to bench boost in 33, you want to play your wild card as close as possible to that deadline, which means that game week 31 or 32 makes a lot of sense. Now, I sold Mo Salah ahead of game week 30 to fund Harry Kane. So the thought of going into game week 31 where Salah plays Watford without him fills me with utter horror. And therefore, it made a lot of sense for that wild card to be played this week. I can set my team up well for game week 33. I can have some thoughts in mind about the best fixture runs till the end of the season and make sure that as far as possible, my team is good to go for the next 8 game weeks. Because when you wild card, you want as many game weeks as possible for that wild card to be effective. So I think if you leave it too much later, you run the risk of it not having the impact that you want it to because you have less game weeks for it to work in.
That makes a lot of sense. It's making me wonder why I haven't activated my own wildcard during this international break. Come on then, Matt, tell us, for you, what was the deciding factor? What did you look at your team and think, I need to get in for these final few weeks?
There was only one, and it was very simple. I didn't have Harry Kane. And Harry Kane has got 66 points in his last 7 game weeks. I used my free hit in game week 30, and he came up trumps, as he has been in recent weeks, and I didn't have him. So the simple answer is I needed to get him into the side as quickly as possible. And the only way to do that without taking a massive points hit was playing my wild card, which I had. So that was the simple reason. I had to have Harry Kane.
Okay, let's go through both Sam and Matt's wildcard teams in positional order. Adrian, you can cast your expert eye across them.
Hey, don't you laugh, Sam.
If you did have your wildcard active, you can tell us what you would do. So let's start in goal. You've both gone for Aaron Ramsdale.
Wouldn't do that. He's injured. What are you doing?
As a backup keeper, Sam's gone Ben Foster and Matt's spent a little bit more money and gone with Kasper Schmeichel. But Clarkey does make a very good point there, Sam. Ramsdale is injured. We still don't quite know how long he's going to be out for. At the time of recording, we haven't heard from Mikel Arteta ahead of their game this weekend. But are you going to stick with him regardless?
No. So it will very much depend on what Arteta says in his press conference. I mean, I think as with everything wildcard based, you make your decisions based upon the information that you have at that moment. So I think Ramsdale is the best keeper for the run-in, if fit and available. Therefore, he stayed in my team because he's a player that I've owned already. I've got some value in. If Arteta comes out in the press conference and says he's going to miss the next 2 or 3 game weeks, then I'm going to have to move him on. It will be a reluctant moving on, that's for sure, because I do think Ramsdale has fantastic potential over the next 8 game weeks to get some really good returns. And his potential for save points and bonus points is huge, more than any other goalkeeper. So for me, he will be there as long as Arteta says you're fit. If he says that he isn't, then I will be looking. I'll be in the market for a new goalkeeper. And maybe at that point, I'll be looking towards somebody like Nick Pope to play out game week 31 and 33. And then, of course, be able to swap him out later on in the campaign, maybe for Ramsdale if back at that point or go somewhere else instead.
But your plan is to keep Ben Foster as your backup, regardless, I'm presuming, to save money for elsewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the plan is to have almost a set and forget goalkeeper over the next few weeks. But because I still have my bench boost chip to play, I need a goalkeeper who I know is going to be able to bring something, a save point, just 2 points for playing in game week 33 when I play my bench boost. And Foster at his price point and with his ownership of that goal for Watford right now. Yeah, yes, they don't keep many clean sheets, but he will get some save points and he will play. So I think he's the best option if you aren't planning to change a keeper around and play the fixtures with your goalkeeper.
Matt, I'm guessing you've gone for Schmeichel in case Ramsdale isn't fit and because he's a really nice option and Leicester have got some good fixtures to come.
Yeah, favourable running for Leicester. Plus, they've got a few players coming back from injury in front of him. So the likes of Johnny Evans, Fofana, both back from injury, Castagna, James Justin as well. So I'm hoping that Leicester's defence, which hasn't been watertight this season, is going to improve at the back end of the season. And they have got a favourable running. I am tempted a little bit now by Ben Foster. Sam's sort of swaying me toward Ben Foster. And I am worried about Ramsdale. I'm a bit the same, actually. I'm going to look at that in the next couple of days and decide on Aaron Ramsdale. But if he's fit, he plays. And they've got a decent run-in as well, Arsenal. So I'd like to keep him because I've got a bit of value in him as well. So, I am a little bit tempted by Ben Foster. Martin Dubravka was someone I looked at as well, actually. Their next four games, they've got three at home and Norwich away. So I thought their fixtures were pretty good. And at 4.4 million, Martin Dubravka is someone that's on my radar if Aaron Ramsdale isn't fit. So I'll have to have a look at that and listen to the Mikel Arteta press conference.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any inside knowledge on Ramsdale. My inclination is that he won't make this weekend, judging from what was said initially. Yet the two goalkeepers that you guys hadn't mentioned until Matt just said Dubravka and was Dubravka. I think the fixtures are fantastic for him. He's coming into my thinking because Saar has a blank game week and he's between the sticks for me. The one that you haven't referenced is David De Gea. Someone who makes an awful lot of saves, as we know. I mean, Manchester United ensure that he's kept pretty busy and they've got a nice run of fixtures. They have a double in game week 33. I think David De Gea would come into my thinking.
That's an interesting shout as well, Adrian, because he's just 5.1 million. Nick Pope, 5.4 million. So a Burnley player, more expensive than a Manchester United player. And Matt Holland, your eyes just lit up.
Tempted. That's right. He's just stuck out the fishing rod there, Clarkie. He's trying to get
it. See if Clarkie's fishing rod can be any good when we go into defence then, shall we? Firstly, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Matt, you have sold him on your wild card. Sam, you have kept him. Clarkie, firstly, what do you make of that? What should people be doing with Trent Alexander-Arnold?
It's a 50-50 call. I have kept him. But when you can just dip in with Robertson, who's actually accrued more points in recent times than Trent Alexander-Arnold, then especially for this game week, Watford, you would surely anticipate a clean sheet there. I can see both sides of the argument. I'm gonna get splinters here and sit on the fence. But the issue, I guess, that would come into my thinking is if I get rid of Trent Alexander-Arnold, is it going to cost me even more to bring him back? Yeah. Further down the line. Sam would probably know more about that than me.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely will. In my team right now, he's worth 7.9 million. And to bring him back in, I'm going to have to pay 8.4 for him. So it's a substantial difference between, you know, the price that you have to pay and the price that I own him for, because I've had him forever. He's never left my team. And I had no intentions of ever selling Trent Alexander-Arnold, even though Andy Robertson keeps kind of waving at me from over there saying, you know, please, can I come? I mean, I love Robertson. I think he's fantastic. His route to points is just as good as that of Trent Alexander-Arnold, and he's significantly cheaper. But I think for me, I'm waiting on Jurgen Klopp's press conference. If he rules him out of this game against Watford, then I will likely sell him simply because I'm building a squad. Now, if I'm building a squad that's going to last for the next few weeks, well, ideally till the end of the season, but certainly for the next few weeks, then I want to make sure that I'm targeting the very best fixtures. And if I look at Liverpool, they've obviously got Watford this week, which is a game that I want to be invested in as much as possible from a Reds point of view. But then I look at them in game week 32 and they've got a fixture against Manchester City. Now, am I really wed to having Trent Alexander-Arnold for a game against Manchester City? Well, of course he can get attacking returns in that one, but would I expect there to be a clean sheet? Well, probably not. Then, of course, it's only a single game week for them in 33 because they've made it through in the FA Cup, and that's against Manchester United. Big derby game. Anything could happen in that one. So the next couple of games after Watford aren't necessarily games where I would feel compelled that I must have Trent Alexander-Arnold. So if Klopp rules him out of game week 31, then likely I will sell him. I'll bring in Robertson instead so that I've got a Liverpool defender for 31. And then beyond the double game week in 33, I'll have a look to make moves back for Trent Alexander-Arnold at that point, if fit and available.
Okay, so Matt has gone for Andy Robertson, but looking at a couple of players that they both have within their defence, they both have Joao Cancelo and Antonio Rudiger. Was that just the fact that you needed a player from both the Chelsea and City defence? And with Rudiger, he's got the security of starts, it seems.
To be honest, I had them both in my team anyway. Both Rudiger and Cancelo have been a fixture in my side all season and got quite a bit invested in them, and there was no need to change them. I think, you know, Chelsea have got decent fixtures. Rudiger seems to play every week. So he was nailed on. And with Man City, I wanted Man City players as well because their fixtures are pretty good. They've got obviously lots to play for this season. And with Man City, there's always the rotation risk. But with Cancelo, there doesn't seem to be. I know he's missed one or two, he's been left out. But generally, Cancelo plays as well. So those two were already in my team. And they were staying in my team regardless. There was no way I was going to change them. With the Trent and Robertson one, I'm thinking a little bit like Sam, a couple of weeks down the line. I'm thinking at the moment, I can do without Trent for a couple of weeks. I'm thinking in maybe 2 or 3 weeks' time, I can, maybe I've got Havertz in midfield, bring Kulusevski into midfield for Havertz, and then bring Trent back into the side. So that was my thinking with regards to those two. And Andy Robertson is the top scoring defender in the second half of the season with a low ownership. He's just about 10%. So that was another reason why I've gone for him.
Okay, well, something else that jumped out at me, there may not have been too much excitement about Burnley or Everton, but Sam, as it stands, you've got a Burnley defender in that back line.
Might have gone a bit double game week crazy with this one. But I think, you know, for me, it was partly about... And it's all about budgeting with wildcard, isn't it? It's about making some good budget decisions. And I think Tarkowski makes some sense, as does Ben Mee, either one of the Burnley defenders. They have some attacking threat. They have two double game weeks to come in 31 and 33. And most of my attention at the moment is being focused firmly on 33 because that's when I'm planning to play my bench boost chip. So I need to ensure that I have the best bench players possible for that week. Now, in that position before my wild card, I have Matt Doherty, who's got Aston Villa in game week 32, which I'm not sure I see a clean sheet there. And then it's Brighton, who are struggling at the moment, to say the least, in 33, but it's a single game week. Whereas instead, I could go with a Burnley defender with some attacking threat, who's got West Ham and Southampton. There's less risk of rotation there. I mean, I don't think that Doherty's going to get rotated, but there is always Emerson Royale kind of lurking around in the background, just waiting for a nod from Conte. So I'm kind of trying to play a bit carefully around 33, give my bench boost the best opportunity, knowing that then I can change him out at some point. Then I'm also looking at a Leicester defender in that position instead, and there's some really nice cheap Leicester defenders, and I would really, really like to have James Justin in that position. He's a player that I really love owning in FPL, and I think with double game week fixtures against Newcastle and Everton in 33, I'd really like to target him. But again, I'm just going to be waiting on news to make sure that he's fully fit and available before I go that way.
Sam, did you think about Connor Roberts at all? At 4.4 million, he was someone that came into my consideration with Burnley rather than Tarkowski.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's a really nice option. I think, you know, the Burnley defence hasn't exactly been solid. So we have to just be sure that we are offering ourselves the most attacking threat possible from these players. But I think that, you know, as we've talked about before, there's budget options to consider. And those extra 0.4, 0.3 here and there suddenly means that you can afford an extra player. So as part of my wildcard team, and spoiler alert, when we get to the midfield, I'm really, really trying to budget for Son. But in order to do that, I need to save some money elsewhere. Now, the Robertson move, makes a lot of sense because that gives me almost enough. And then if I was to downgrade Tarkowski as well, that would give me the budget to be able to keep Hong-Min Son, as well as having Harry Kane and as well as going Salah and having Trent and having Robertson, sorry, and Cancelo. So there's a lot of ifs and buts and weighing up to do. So I think if you can save a little bit of money by not ripping up your team, by just changing the way that you go into the Burnley defence, or even with Leicester, with the likes of maybe Daniel Amati as well, it just gives you that opportunity to still target a defence that looks promising or target a defensive unit that looks attacking-wise good without ripping up your team.
You've both gone for Tino Livramento in terms of your budget defender. But Adrian, what do you make of Matt's selection of Kieran Tierney?
I think it's a good selection because he plays every week. Arsenal have got an excellent run of games coming up. They've got 13 clean sheets this season, which equates, because they've played fewer games than a lot of teams, they get a clean sheet in 46% of their matches, Arsenal this season. That is an outstanding record. So no, I understand it completely. He's a little bit dearer, isn't he, than somebody like Ben White. But he's got more possibility, I think, to provide assists with that stream of crossing. All I'll say is that Tierney hasn't been as good in the last 3 months, I'd say, as he was earlier on in the season. He's played a slightly more withdrawn role. He hasn't been flying forward with quite the same dynamism. But no, I wouldn't argue against it because I think that loading up on Arsenal at the moment isn't a bad idea because the fixtures aren't too bad for them moving forwards.
Okay, let's go into midfield then. You've both got three of the same players here, Mo Salah, Bukayo Saka and Anthony Gordon. Now, you've both gone for a Leicester midfielder, but you've gone different. Sam has gone for Harvey Barnes. Matt has gone for James Maddison. Sam, I'll let you go first and explain your choice.
Oh, I've got a real thing about Harvey Barnes at the moment. I think he's playing really well. Every time I watch him, he looks like a man that's come back from injury, stronger, fitter, with a kind of real determination and guts about his game. So he was a player that I was really quite excited about. I've been watching him for a few weeks and he was always one of my number one targets as part of my wild card. Plus, as I mentioned already, I'm sort of looking around how I manage the rest of my team. And he's just a little bit cheaper than James Maddison. So it's not like a massive difference, but that 0.2 does go quite a long way. And so by owning Harvey Barnes, 0.2 can be invested elsewhere. And I am literally counting the 0.1s and 0.2s to make the Sun move work. So I think Harvey Barnes is a really nice option. I'm not worried about rotation too much around him either, particularly with Jamie Vardy being out as well. I think he is the creativity in that team that they really need. And as Matt said before, you know, they've got defensive players coming back in who are going to offer more creativity, better link up play with those midfielders, and then in turn, better attacking threat on top of that. So I'm quite keen on Barnes. Doesn't mean I'm not keen on Maddison. I do really like him as well. And I think there's scope for either one of them. They could both do really well in the running.
I've gone James Maddison because set piece threat on top of the open play as well, because he takes corners and free kicks and he's quality from those deliveries. And with the likes of Evans and Fofana coming back into the team, I just think that Leicester, with the fixtures they've got, they're set for a strong run in. And James Maddison, 8 goals this season, 6 assists. He's had more shots than any other Leicester player this season. So James Maddison just got the nod over Harvey Barnes for me, I think purely on his set-piece delivery.
I like both. Both are playing really, really well, Barnes in particular, but Madison's having a great season. The issue is a Conference League. You saw what happened at Arsenal. He played a weakened side, Brendan Rodgers, in an away match at Arsenal. They've obviously got PSV coming up. I think maybe the Palace match is more likely where you'll see a bit of rotation, but it does feel to me as if Brendan Rodgers is prioritising winning that competition over anything else. It might free them up in the league. They might go in with a carefree attitude and swat teams aside. It doesn't mean they're going to start losing, but there is that element of rotational risk. But I've got Barnes, so I don't believe in that argument too strongly. But it is something to think about.
Matt, I particularly like your choice of Kai Havertz as well for Chelsea. Are you worried about rotation at all there, or do you think that Thomas Tuchel will continue to favour him in the league over Romelu Lukaku in that upfront position?
I am worried about rotation. Yes, is the simple answer to that. I just think that Chelsea look a much better side when he's in it. The question is, where does Thomas Tuchel prioritise as well? you know, I think they're almost certain to finish in the top four. So that's not an issue. They're going to finish in the Champions League places, but they're not going to win the league. So their priorities then lie elsewhere. But he's in good form. He's got 35 points in his last four matches. And if he continues to play in that number nine role, I think at 7.9 million, he's a great option as a midfield player. So that's the reason why I've gone with him. But I am a little bit worried. He's someone that in a couple of weeks' time, I might sell to try and get Trent Alexander-Arnold back into the side and go for a cheaper option like a Kulusevski in midfield. So that's my thinking at the moment. But with his form, 35 points in his last four, scored on his international duty as well for Germany. I just think he's in great shape at the moment, but I am worried about rotation.
And Sam's other midfielder then is Dejan Kulusevski. Of course, she was going to have a Spurs midfielder in there somewhere. Moving on to both their front lines then. They've both got Harry Kane and Armando Broja. However, they go different on their final forward. As we've been hearing, Sam has Weghorst. Matt, you've gone for Cucho Hernandez.
Yeah, budget, I'm afraid. He's got two double-digit hauls in his last three games. And so that's purely why I've gone for him. There's a number of players that came into consideration. Obviously, Weghorst was one, but he's blanked in his last five. I know he's got more fixtures at Burnley. And Mateta actually is someone that I considered as well at Crystal Palace. He's become a regular starter now under Patrick Vieira. Goals against Watford and Wolves recently. So he's someone that came into consideration. But I just think Cucho, at that budget and the fact that his form has been good of late, has given him the nod over those two.
And interestingly, last week, Az Phillips, who's up to 555 in the world, he was singing Cucho's praises as well and suggesting him as a good option.
I listened to that pod while I was away in Dublin this last week, and that was another reason why I went for Cucho, because Az talked him up.
I'm pleased to see that we're helping you, even when you're not on the panel. Sam, let's talk about your other two forwards then, because we've spoken about Weghorst. Kane and Broja. Are you a little bit worried about Broja's slightly patchy form in front of goal? He passes the eye test, but maybe hasn't got as many goals as we'd have liked.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I'm not wed to my forward line at all, bar Harry Kane. So Weghorst is there simply because he's got two double game weeks in the next two games, and it makes sense. I actually really like Cucho Hernandez, and I keep worrying that I'm about to go back into the Josh King rabbit hole that I was in before with Watford.
I'm still in it.
Yeah. Oh, Adrian, that needs to change. But I think he makes a lot of sense budget-wise. So at some point in the after game week 33, I think I will take budget out of Weghorst, invest in Cucho Hernandez, because at that stage I won't need a bench that's quite as well invested, because I'll have paid my bench boost chip. With Broja, I think he still looks promising. The Southampton fixtures still look quite nice for a number of weeks to come. So obviously they've got Leeds in game week 31, and Leeds just haven't really been that solid defensive unit that they were last season by any stretch of the imagination, although they have improved since the new manager arrived. I still don't trust them to keep a clean sheet in that one. Then they've got a very difficult on paper fixture against Chelsea in game week 32, followed by the double game week then, where they've got Arsenal may or may not have first choice goalkeeper in goal, and that will have an impact, I think, on their ability to keep a clean sheet, and Burnley. So looking at that run, beyond that then it's really quite nice. It's, you know, Brighton, Crystal Palace and Brentford before two difficult games at the end. So I think Broja is the sort of player that at his price point, it's fine. You can hold him, you can bench him. He's not detracting from the rest of your team, but he also has the potential with the fixtures that he has, particularly through sort of game week 36, to return FPL points. And so for me, he was a player that made an awful lot of sense.
Clarkey, you're nodding along. I feel like you're the overlord of this wildcard chat, because yours isn't active and I've kind of designated you as the wildcard expert. So what do you make of both their forward lines and their teams overall?
I'm comfortable with overlord status first and foremost. So yeah, I appreciate that. I'm impressed. I can't argue too much with what they've said. If I'd have done a wildcard, I would have had Broja in there as well, I think. The only two things I would pick up that they've maybe missed is Newcastle. And I talked about Dubravka. You could have brought Target in at the back. You know, I've got some three home games in a row coming up. You've got Sam Maximan coming back from injury as well with those three home games. So he was someone that would be in my consideration. And the absence of a second Liverpool midfielder, I think, in both teams is interesting. Obviously, with the Watford game, Sam's covered it with the City and Manchester United games coming up. But I don't know. I think Jota or Luis Diaz would certainly be in my consideration if I was wildcarding this time around.
I've got my full allocation of Arsenal players, though, Clarkie. So that's surely got the nod from you.
The overlord is happy.
And on that note, we'll move on. Let's take a look now at the fixtures ahead of us in game week 31. So 11 matches in game week 31, with the deadline being Saturday the 2nd of April at 11 a.m. ahead of Liverpool versus Watford. Just the 9 goals for Mo Salah in 7 against Watford. We can see why Sam was desperate to get the Egyptian King back in. 5 matches then at 3 p.m. including Brighton Norwich, a West London meeting of Chelsea and Brentford, a West Midlands meeting between Wolves and Villa, Burnley host Manchester City, and Leeds entertain Southampton. At 5:30, Leicester remarkably look to make it 4 wins in a row against Manchester United at Old Trafford. Then on Sunday, West Ham Everton is at 2 before Spurs welcome Newcastle at 4:30. On Monday, Patrick Vieira welcomes his former club Arsenal to Selhurst Park before the double game week fixture between Burnley and Everton is on Wednesday evening. Our panel have picked a fixture each to preview. I'll get my tin hat out as Matt, you look ahead to Liverpool versus Watford. I'm not going to like some of these stats, I get the feeling.
I don't think you are at all. 4 of Liverpool's last 9 matches against Watford have been either 5-0 or 6-1. Mo Salah averages almost 12 points per 90 against Watford. And he's got 4 double-digit hauls in the last 7 meetings with the Hornets as well. So everything points to a huge, huge Liverpool win. Sorry, Kelly. Look, Liverpool have got 6 of the top 10 scoring players in FPL this season. That's how good they've been. Obviously, Salah's way out in front with 222 points, owned by 60%. So he's an absolute shoo-in for me. Obviously, Trent Alexander-Arnold is a worry with that hamstring injury. Don't think he's going to play, which is why Andy Robertson's come into my wildcard team. He gets 6.5 points per game this season, Andy Robertson, and certainly second half of the season he's been in great form. Clarkie's alluded to the fact that I'm missing a Liverpool second midfielder, and obviously Diogo Jota would come into that at 8.3 million. He scored 133 points. Also Sadio Mane as well, although he's a lot more expensive, 11.7 million, but only owned by 3.6% of the FPL community. So everything points to having 3 Liverpool players. Watford worry me, particularly in this game, but I have got obviously Cucho in my wildcard team. He's at 5 million, 59 points. He's in form. The other one that sort of just springs to mind with Watford is Ismaïla Sarr as well. Back from injury, played against Egypt in the international break. He's their top scoring player per game. I think he's second to Emmanuel Dennis at 4.1 points per game. So he's a midfielder that may come into people's reckoning. Obviously, Sam's mentioned Ben Foster in goal. 3.3 points per game isn't bad. And at 4.1 million, that's a decent price. So, everything points to having 3 Liverpool players and no Watford players this weekend.
I'll throw in another stat as well then, Matt. Mo Salah's biggest ever FPL haul came back in 2017-18. He got 4 goals, 1 assist and 29 FPL points at home to Watford. Let's move on, shall we? Sam, you're looking at your team, Spurs, who may well have a better afternoon at home to Newcastle.
Well, let's hope so, Kelly, because I'm going to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this weekend to watch this one with my oldest. So hopefully he's going to get a nice game for us to watch. Kane has 3 double-digit hauls in his last 4 Premier League meetings versus Newcastle, averaging 10.5 points per match against the Magpies. In that time, he's got 5 goals, 2 assists and 9 bonus points. So his form in the Premier League and, of course, for England over the international break looks like it will continue against Newcastle this time around. When we have a little look at the other Spurs players there, Son has got 3 goals in his last 6 Premier League meetings against Newcastle. And Newcastle have only kept 1 clean sheet in their last 5 Premier League matches, which is boding well then for that Spurs attack. You know, we've seen Kulusevski come in and make such a difference to the way that Spurs attack. He's given a whole dimension that Spurs didn't have before. And as a Spurs fan, I wasn't really sure we ever needed until he arrived. And I was like, hello, know, all that we've been missing for all of this time, real strength of character and strength on the ball as well. And he beats Son for almost every underlying stat that you can look at. So he beats him for goal attempts, shots on the box, penalty area touches, all across the last seven matches. And since his arrival at the club, since he's been starting in matches, he's returned 44 Premier League FPL points, which is quite frankly amazing, because normally when we see people arrive in the Premier League, it takes them a little bit of time just to get used to the speed of the game and to kind of bed in. So the fact that Kulusevski has arrived and hit the ground running looks really promising. And I think for me, Spurs, they look promising for this game, but they also look good longer term. You know, the fixtures are really nice. They've got something to fight for. And of course, no European football anymore for Spurs after they were ejected from the Europa Conference League. So definitely all eyes on that top four, and whether they can kind of displace Arsenal from the top of the league will definitely be on the radar of Conte and Spurs. From a Newcastle perspective, though, I definitely don't think we should be overlooking them. We've talked already about how there's double game weeks to come. Ryan Fraser actually is looking like a really promising option right now. So his home form has been remarkable. So when we look at him over his recent home fixtures, he's got a goal, an assist and 13 points in two of his last three home fixtures for Newcastle in the league. He's also joint top for both attacking returns and returns generally across that Newcastle team in the last six matches. And in his last four home matches, he's had seven shots, six shots on the box, six key passes, all of these leading totals across that Newcastle time. And, you know, whilst he's away at Spurs this weekend, I do think he's a player that if you're wildcarding, you shouldn't be ignoring, says she who's kind of ignored him so far on wildcard. But I do think he's got some real potential because, as the boys have mentioned earlier, three of his next four fixtures are at home. And then, of course, there's a really nice fixture to follow too. So Ryan Fraser would be my pick of the Newcastle team, plus the set-piece threat. And with Kieran Trippier suggesting that he might be in for a bit of an earlier return, definitely one to keep an eye on too.
Okay, Clarkey, the final game that we're looking ahead to, you've taken a look at your team as well, Arsenal, who travel to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting match. Arsenal have a very good record, actually, at Selhurst Park. I think Villa Park's the only place they've won more Premier League matches at than Palace. So and they're in good form, as we know, keeping clean sheets, five away wins in a row as well for Arsenal. So if you do have two or three Arsenal players, I think that's a positive. Stats wise, the one player we haven't mentioned today, and he doesn't get that much love on FPL, probably because he doesn't. Well, it is because he doesn't get enough assists. Is Martin Ødegaard. Martin Ødegaard is nailed on to start every game, I'm telling you, because Arteta loves him. He's the son of Arteta. And I was looking at chances in open play. Only three players in the entire Premier League have made more chances in open play than Martin Ødegaard this season. Bruno Fernandes, Mo Salah and Bernardo Silva. So at the price point, you know, mid fives, I think that he can supply good value. On Bukayo Saka, for anyone that hasn't got Bukayo Saka, maybe you should reconsider. He's in fantastic form. I think this is the best I've seen him, to be honest. He's tormenting fullbacks pretty much every week. He's had more shots than any other Premier League midfielder this season, 68. And he's also had the fourth most touches of any player this season inside the box, Bukayo Saka. So he gets into the right areas so frequently. I think he's fast becoming a sort of must-have in your FPL team. So yeah, with that and obviously Ben White, I think is a good choice for the defence. Maybe Gabriel, if you haven't got White, Gabriel's got more of a threat at set pieces, and Palace are terrible at defending corners and wide free kicks. So maybe look out for Gabriel this weekend. As for Palace, I think they're short, aren't they? I think Elise's a doubt. Zaha's a doubt. I think Mateta, as Matt mentioned earlier, is an option as a cheap forward, because I think he will almost certainly play in the game. But I would be looking at Arsenal players here because I fancy them to do quite well.
Okay then, well, that's three of the 11 Game Week 31 fixtures previewed. Now on to transfers and captains. So we know Sam and Matt have a fair few decisions to make when it comes to their wild card. So I'll just ask you, firstly, Matt, how set is your team and how much has it changed during this podcast?
It's changed. Yeah, it was fully set and loaded and ready to go. And now I'm sort of tempted by some of the stuff that Sam and Clarke have said. I'm up in the air again. I don't know. I'm going to have to spend another half a day now trying to work out what spin you're going to pick.
Sorry, Matt.
I tell you what, have another listen back later.
I spent the last 2 weeks doing my wild card, had it set, had it nailed, and now I'm thinking, I don't know if I've got the right team or not. So I'm going to have another half a day wasted trying to sort out the team again. This week.
Oh, it's never wasted, Matt. It's never wasted. A day of FPL is a day well spent.
And Matt, it's snowing outside. There's nothing else to do, mate.
It's wasted when you're 500,000 in the world and trying to find a table.
Very quickly, what are the positions that you're most confused about now?
I'm very confused about my goalkeepers. Absolutely no idea what to do in goal. I'm thinking David De Gea and Foster instead of Schmeichel and Ramsdale. James Justin was a tempter for me. Sam mentioned him. I'm now thinking about my midfield as well. Should I bring Kulusevski in? Up top, should I have Cucho? I have no idea. The only ones I'm certain on are Harry Kane and Mo Salah. And they're both in the side and both staying in the side.
I think that's probably wise. Good luck sourcing out the other 13 positions in your team. Don't forget that deadline, Matt, Saturday at 11 a.m. What about you, Sam? I get the feeling you might be a little bit more secure with yours.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of almost there. It's going to be a case of listening to those press conferences very carefully. I'm particularly going to be interested in what Jurgen Klopp and Mikel Arteta have to say ahead of their fixtures at the weekend. Making key decisions about Trent Alexander-Arnold and Aaron Ramsdale is going to be the fundamental kind of pivot point for me, and then it'll be just tinkering around the edges. But I feel like the spine of the team is there. I have the key players that I think I want. It's just making sure that you get enough differentials in there as well. You want to take a few little risky ones with you on your wild card, just because, you know, that's how you climb up the overall rank, going early on somebody, targeting those double game weeks to come, and just making sure that you have enough of the key players as well as a few extra ones in there too. So nearly there. Probably a few hours on Friday evening, tinker, tinker, tinker. And then Saturday morning, I'll finalise it just ahead of that Liverpool game.
Clarkie, what about you? A far more peaceful build up to the deadline for you. No wild card active. What are your transfer plans?
Do you know what? Sometimes it's better to stand still and say, you know what? The fixtures are quite good for my team this week. Have I got the perfect team? No, absolutely. There's loads of players I want to tweak and change. But I've got seven of my starting 11 at the moment are at home. I've got good fixtures across the board. I don't actually have to make any changes this weekend. The only one I'm considering is Trent Alexander-Arnold to go for Robertson, because it feels like it's a gimme 6 points at home to Watford. And I won't lose the same amount of money as Sam. She'll have to take a 0.5 hit, I think. I had him more recently, so I wouldn't have to lose so much money. So that's where I'm going. I'll either sit still or I'll make that one simple change. And as far as captaincy is concerned, it's going to be Salah. It's obviously Salah or Kane, but Salah to bounce back from his Egypt disappointment, I think this is the game for him to do it.
Are you more certain on your captaincy, Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah, you sold it to me, actually, when you said his record points haul was 29 against Watford. So that's done and dusted for me. It is a tempter, Harry Kane at home to Newcastle. But no, I absolutely nailed on Mo Salah captain.
I know what Sam Bonfield's going to say here. I've done the maths. She's got Harry Kane back in her side. She's going to Spurs on Sunday. You're going to captain Kane, aren't you, Sam?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I am. It feels quite frankly terrifying, though, not to captain Mo Salah against Watford. Like, you know, every ounce of me wants to captain Mo Salah because he's in form, he's got a great fixture, he's got a great record against them. I worry slightly about, you know, he had an injury going into the international break. He's obviously played an important role for Egypt over the international break. Liverpool have important European football still to play, as well as the FA Cup, which they're going to want to win to make it through to the final. So I have some slight moments of doubt about his minutes, but I'm not really that worried about it. I think he'll play. He seems to be fine coming off the pitch for Egypt the other night. But I do have a rule. If I'm going to a game, I captain a player that I'm going to watch, and Harry Kane it is.
Well, I get the feeling that Mo Salah and Harry Kane will be popular picks this week. Salah at home to Watford, Kane at home to Newcastle. That's all we've got time for this week. My thanks go to Sam, Matt and Adrian for joining me. My prayers also go to Matt for finalising that wild card over the next couple of days. Don't forget that deadline, 11 a.m. on Saturday. And if you haven't joined our mini league just yet, the code is 1KIKS7. And you can also visit the Premier League app and website further hints and tips for your team. Best of luck for game week 31. Until next week, goodbye.